Hello, and welcome to this podcast of Sunday sermons from Concord United Methodist Church. We hope that you'll find this message to be meaningful, insightful, and a refreshing part of your daily walk with God. Please feel free to share this podcast with family, friends, or anyone else who might benefit from it. This podcast is part of the digital ministries of Concord United, and we are grateful that you have chosen to experience worship and God's Word with us. For more information about Concord United and its ministries, please visit our website at concordunited.org.
It's great to be able to share with you today as we're continuing through our message series leading up to Christmas called God Broke Through, where we look at Christmas really is God breaking through to reach us. And as part of that, many of you are participating in studies around the church and small groups and Sunday school classes of the book God Broke Through at Christmas by our bishop, Bishop Deborah Wallace Padgett. If you were here this time last week, she was here to speak with us. And if you're doing the Bible reading plan, you are reading through some of the scriptures found in that book, as this is a time when we're really looking at what's it mean that God became human. I want to encourage you, if you have not yet joined the daily Bible reading plan, there is no time like today. This is a great time to jump in and really dig into the Christmas scriptures as we're looking at what does this really mean. We get so excited in our society, but what really does this mean? And last week we talked about how God broke through the silence. Today we're talking about how God breaks through the darkness as we continue to look at the first chapter of the Gospel of John. And this is one of the questions that keeps many people from joy, that keeps many people from faith and from believing in God, is this question of darkness. It's many people look at the church and they're like, there's so much about the church that's great. You know, who doesn't love the song Joy to the World this time of the year? But they say, I hear all that. Who doesn't like Christmas Eve when you stand with lit candles, right? Who doesn't like that? Who doesn't like Christmas lights? If, you know, like if you don't like Christmas lights, we have a counseling center, right? And we'll hook you up. But people say, I hear all this and it sounds good. I'm just not sure it's true because I see a lot of darkness. I look at world history. Many of you have been reading the Old Testament, even biblical history. And you know what happens a lot? Nation goes to war against nation and God's children kill each other. And I look at what happens in our world today and I look at natural disasters and I look at poverty and I look at broken families and there's just a lot of hurt and a lot of pain and there's a lot of darkness. And I even look at my own life and there's darkness in my own life and there are things I'm ashamed of and there are things I can't explain and there are hurts I can't overcome. And I just wonder, how could God let all this happen? I love what the church has to say about light and love and Christmas. I'm just not sure because the darkness is so great. Well, this is what God has to say about the darkness. This is from the first chapter of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. So what the Bible's saying there is it's making a big claim. It's saying the light shines in the darkness. It's saying there's all this, but the light shines and the darkness did not overcome it. That the darkness can never put out the light, that the darkness has not, will not, cannot overcome it, and that the light is shining. And in fact, the light is infinitely more powerful than the darkness. And we believe that when God created the world, God left his thumbprint on the world. So you can look at the world, and from the way the world's created, you can learn things about the nature of God. For instance, the reason we think the universe is so big, billions of light years across, is because we believe by making the universe that big, that was God's way of saying, this is how big and powerful I am to make something this big. Now, we can also see this happening in how light works in our universe, that actually whether it's we're talking physically or spiritually, there's a simple way that light proves its superiority over darkness. Light defeats darkness simply by showing up. That's the case. When light shows up, darkness leaves. They both can't coexist. And in fact, a little bit of light can light up a tremendous amount of darkness. Think about our universe for a minute. Okay, our sun. It's a pretty big ball of fire, right? But think about being around a campfire. How far do you have to get away from a campfire before you stop feeling its heat? Not that far. You go back a little ways, you no longer feel the heat of a campfire. Do you know how far away our sun is from the earth? Our sun is 91 million miles from the earth. 91 million. And not only do we still feel its heat, not only at which we feel a little bit more than we want to sometimes in August and July, but if we look at it, it will blind us. And to do that, the sun has to travel, that light has to travel through 91 million miles of pure darkness. And it does so well enough to make the darkness light and to give us heat and to be so bright we can't look directly at it. Now, that's not even the most amazing thing about how light casts out darkness from the natural world. If you look at the night sky, the farthest star away that you can see with your eye. Now, with a telescope, with binoculars, whatever, you can see a little more. But with just your naked eye, the farthest star away that you can see is about 4,000 light years, okay? So that light was able to travel for 4,000 years at the speed of light through pure darkness, and you can see it. Now, you might be wondering, how far is 4,000 light years? I'm very glad you asked that question. 4,000 light years is 24 quadrillion miles. 24 quadrillion miles of pure darkness. And you can still, now you might be wondering, how big is 24 quadrillion miles? It is 24,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, 24 and 15 zeros miles. That's how far it is. And the light still wins because the light showed up. The darkness couldn't put it out. That much darkness, that many miles of pure darkness, couldn't put it out, couldn't make it not visible. And this is what we believe spiritually as well, that when light shows up, darkness loses. That when love shows up, darkness loses. That when goodness shows up, evil loses. That's what we believe. And what's most important in this world is that good people show up. That people with good intentions show up doing good things. That we don't let those with bad intentions be more stubborn, be more determined than those of us with good intentions for our world. That we don't let those who propagate hate and prejudice be more stubborn, more passionate about what they're doing than those of us who propagate love and compassion. That we don't let those who propagate division be more passionate and determined about what they're doing than those of us who reach out and say, wait a second, Jesus came for all. For all. And what Christmas is? Christmas is the celebration that God showed up. That when the light shows up, darkness loses. Christmas is a celebration that God showed up in a world with a lot of darkness, in a world with a lot of war, in a world with a lot of suffering, in a world that thought God, that thought of God, or to a people that thought of God as someone who was going to give them a savior, who would be a military figure, who would cut other nations down and lift their nation up. God gave them a savior who would teach their nation to reach out to all the other nations and would open the gates of heaven to everyone. God showed up. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. And then here's what happens when God shows up. And this is important to us. This isn't just a history lesson of what happened back then when God showed up. This is for us today of what happens when God shows up. We're going to continue with John chapter 1. Going to verse 10. He, meaning Jesus, or as John calls him here, the eternal word, was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. Okay, what's happening there is there's the writer of John is saying, here's how it works. You get to become a child of God. Now, everyone is a child of God in that God created everybody, but through Christ, you get to start living like that. You get to live in the reality that the light is greater than the darkness, because a lot of people in this world go through their life living in the reality that the darkness, or living in the false reality that the darkness is greater than the light, and you don't want to live in that. You get to know the peace. You get to know the joy. You get to know the love. You get to know the compassion. You get to know the integrity and the faithfulness of living as children of God. You get to live in that. But here's where the history lesson becomes not ancient history, but modern history for us. Listen to what it says. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. That's verse 11. So this is talking about, one, remember in the early verses, Jesus is there when the whole thing's created. He came to his creation, and his creation rejected him and crucified him. But also, he came as a Jew to the Jewish people. And the Jewish people, and especially the religious leaders, the very ones who should have recognized him, the ones for whom he was the fulfillment of their scriptures, and they were the ones who'd been charged with studying the scriptures, they were the ones who rejected him. Now, not every one of them, but many of them, how can this be? And the reason this isn't just an ancient history lesson, but is a modern history lesson, is because for some of us, we've heard these words. We're good church people. We've been in church. But sometimes, and myself included, we start living as if we're children of darkness rather than children of light. Now, when I say children of darkness, I don't mean that we're just going out there doing every awful thing we can think of. I mean, we're living in the false reality and in the depression and the despair that comes out of somehow this lurking fear that the darkness really is greater than the light. Okay, and there are things that we need to understand. Even for those of us who know the Christian beliefs and the Bible and the Christmas story, there are things that blind us to the light and cause us to live in darkness, and that keep us from living as children of God in the peace and the grace that we inherit as children of God. And three of those things are shame, resentment, and exhaustion. If you're living in those things, they will blind you to the light, no matter how well you know your Bible. If you're living in shame, and for some of us, maybe it's shame out of something we've done, and we just can't forgive ourselves because we have this arrogance that somehow we should be better than everybody else and we shouldn't make big mistakes, or because we've been too fearful to actually deal with it and be honest about it and take responsibility and try to make amends, but we've given it free rent inside our lives and inside our hearts, and it's eaten us up. Sometimes shame comes from a different place. Sometimes shame doesn't come from something you've done. It comes from something that was done to you that you somehow think you should have been able to prevent, or it comes from something somebody else did that you think you should have been able to stop them from doing, that you think somehow you should have had control over somebody else, wherever it comes from. Sometimes it comes from something we really should have done. Sometimes it comes from something that was out of our control. But if you let it just stay there, all it does is create a space without light in your heart. And then not just shame, but also resentment. And what resentment is it looks at the difficulties of this life and the things that we wanted that we haven't quite gotten and the way things are harder than we think they should be. And it just, it feeds on that anger of, it shouldn't be like this. I'm so angry, it shouldn't be like this. And after years of pandemic now, we see this happening in our culture, right? We see people not being as kind and as patient with each other as they used to be, because a lot of us are walking around in this resentment of, I'm so frustrated that things are like this. They shouldn't be like this. We don't deserve for them to be like this. We shouldn't have to be dealing with these things. And if you walk around in that, it's hard to walk around in the peace and the joy of a child of God. And then also exhaustion. Now, I get that there are seasons in life when we're just exhausted. You know, we have 3 children in our family. And I remember what it was like bringing each of those children home from the hospital. And I remember when that child was born thinking, this is the best day of my life. And I remember when you come home from that hospital and you can't put that child somewhere else to sleep at night. I remember thinking, this is going to be one of the roughest 3 months of my life, right? I get there are times when life just causes us to be physically exhausted, but that shouldn't be all the time. That should be the exception, not the rule. And when we allow our lives to become overly busy, when we allow ourselves, our calendars to spin out of control, we become exhausted and you can't see the light in the middle of that. I heard somebody told me this week something that really struck me. They said, do you know what busy stands for? They said, buried under Satan's yoke. That if you don't have any margin in your life, it's going to be hard to see anything good in your life. And that just buried under Satan's yoke, that just made all the sense in the world to me. Remember in the Old Testament, people come out of slavery in Egypt. What's the first commandment God gives them? Remember the Sabbath. Take a rest. Take a break. But a particular type of break. So I want you to know that there are these things in the world that even for those of us who are in church, even for those of us who read our Bible and pray, even for those of us who are really trying to live life the way it needs to be lived, there are things that can take that light away and can cause us to live in the darkness. And so the question becomes, when we get there, because we all get there, and we see that darkness taking up a spot in our heart, you know, what's the antidote to that? Well, it's grace, gratitude, and Sabbath that open our eyes to the light. Grace is the antidote of shame, because when you're in shame, by definition, you are keeping yourself in that shame because you don't think you should be there. You don't think you should be dealing with this, but then it's so shameful that you are that you can't get out of it. What's grace? Grace is saying, God always knew we were going to need forgiveness. That's always how we were designed. God always knew and created us where we couldn't control everything. And accepting the grace that comes and the peace that comes from acknowledging that. I mean, God's the only one who ever could control everything. And when God created us with free will, God gave up that control. Self-limited. God decided, I will give up control in order to have the chance to truly love. And living in that grace, that God's there for us. Gratitude. Gratitude is the antidote for resentment. If you're just living in resentment, and the thing about resentment is, man, if you give resentment any space inside your heart, golly, like if you just allow it to remain for a little while, it will grow like crazy, right? When I was a kid, you could go to the store and you could buy these little sponge toys, and I don't think they still sell them because some kid probably swallowed them. But they were like this big, and you put them in, and there's like, you know, like a shape of a dog, little sponge, and you put it in water, and you came back, and it was like this big. That's what resentment does. If you just give it a little space, it's like a cancer. Boom. All of a sudden, it's huge. Gratitude. Gratitude is the antidote for resentment. Recognizing what we have each day. Recognizing that just by the fact that we're alive, we are all winners of the genetic lottery. That by the fact that Jesus came to earth for us, we are all winners of the spiritual lottery. Everything we've been given and embracing instead of resenting every hardship that comes our way, in the hardship saying, hey, how can I be a light right now in the midst of this darkness? and saying, God, thank you for putting me here. Thank you for entrusting me with the responsibility to reflect your light in the midst of this hardship, in the midst of this darkness, rather than just dwelling on that resentment. And then the antidote to exhaustion is Sabbath. Now, you might not be familiar with the word Sabbath. It comes from God's command that the people take one day set aside to worship, to pray, to focus on God, not work. But in our culture, Sabbath is really, do you take time to read your Bible and pray every day? And it's, do you make time for church? And also, when you get a day off with your family, do you take it? Do you take it? And I know there are things that need to be done around the house, that there is around mine, but do you work so hard on those things on your day off that you can't enjoy any goodness at all in life either? You know, our calendars are important because our calendars are windows into our hearts. Grace, gratitude, and Sabbath are God's gifts to open our eyes to the light, to keep us out of darkness. And here's the interesting thing. There's one, if you want grace, gratitude, and Sabbath, there's one thing that is common to all of them that you have to have or you cannot receive any of them, and that is humility. You have to have humility. In fact, you can go so far as to say you cannot embrace God without embracing humility, because without humility, you will never accept grace, gratitude, and Sabbath. The humility to say, yes, of course I need forgiveness. Yes, of course I'm capable of making bad mistakes. But you know what? God is even more capable of redeeming those. Yes, I don't have control of everything. Of course I don't have control of everything. The humility to say, yes, life is hard, but I'm so thankful for what I have. Because it didn't have to be given to me, and this day and everything within it is a gift. The humility to say, you know what, I can't get everything done that I'd ever want to get done. I recognize that my body and my soul and my spirit need rest, and I'm going to take that humility. And that's hard. That's hard because a lot of us walk around in that arrogance that we can just out of our own effort fix everything and do everything ourselves, and I'm no different. When you go to be a pastor in the United Methodist Church, you have to take psychological evaluations. And we do that, one, because you can learn from them, and two, because sometimes people try to be a pastor for poor motivations, and sometimes that catches folks. Well, I remember taking my psychological evaluations, and I remember sitting down with the counselor, and they said a lot of things that were helpful. And then the counselor says to me, and by the way, I've told this story before, but I have a microphone, and you can't stop me from telling it again. Well, you probably could, but please don't. The counselor looks at me and she says to me, you don't mind to ask for help. And I'm like, yeah, I don't mind to ask for help. That's good. Yeah, that's good. And then she completes her sentence and she says, right before you drown. Like, you don't look at the deep end of the pool and go, oh, maybe I should ask somebody before I jump in. You wait until like there's just your nose above and a hand above water, and then you ask for help. Like, what is that? That's arrogance. And it keeps a lot of darkness in your life. It's not humility. Can you ever been there? You relate to that? So what is this humility that can unlock grace, that can unlock Sabbath, that can unlock gratitude for us? Humility is found in accepting our own neediness and God's indescribable goodness. That's it. That's what humility is. It's accepting that, yeah, we're needy. Like, sometimes we talk about those people who are in need, you know, those needy people. We are those people. We are all those people. There are different types of needs that different types of people have. But we are all those people accepting our own neediness and accepting God's indescribable goodness. And here's what I'd like to leave you with today as you think about how can I do that? And particularly, how can I do that when some of this darkness that I see in our world, for some of us that I see in it myself, that I can't really be sure that light is there and that it's really going to take over, that it's really more powerful than this darkness. And all of us go through this. Even those of us who say, I'm a strong believer, there are going to be times in life where things come up and where in your head you're going to say the light still shines in your darkness, in the darkness, and in your heart you're going to say, I can't feel it right now. I'm not so sure. It sounded awful good, but I'm beginning to wonder if it was too good to be true because of my lived reality right now. Here's what I want you to know in advance before those times come. Just because you can't see the light doesn't mean it isn't shining. Think again about the sun. We talk a lot about, like, where are we going to get our electricity, our power from in the future, right? We still going to use fossil fuels? Is it going to be solar? Is it going to be wind? Is it going to be nuclear? Well, if you look at our natural world again, there's really only one type of power. It's light. It's solar, right? Every other power, whether it's fossil fuels or nuclear or wind or, you know, solar panels, it all comes from the sun. Like, if the sun goes out, everything else goes out too. Like, there's nothing left if the sun goes out, if we don't have that source of light. And this sun that's so powerful that it keeps us warm, so powerful that it'll blind our eyes, at night, for virtually half the hours we're alive, can't see it. Can't see it. We wouldn't be alive if it weren't there, but we can't see it. There are going to be times in life where it's hard to see, but it doesn't mean that it's not shining. And there are a lot of people in this world for whom it's hard to see. And they need people like this. This is talking about John the Baptist, but I actually think it's talking about all of us. Verse 7 of John 1. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. I had the blessing this week of doing the funeral for a lady named Barbara Desmond, known as Jean to her family. Her family goes here, but I didn't have the opportunity to get to know her until it was time for her funeral, and I got to know her through them. And what I found out was a beautiful life and someone who faced many hardships in life that were not at all of her own making, but who kept her focus on her family and her faith and the things that she could control of being a witness. And someone at the end of her life who even thought about, I want to die in such a way that gives God glory. And God granted that request. And in her last days, she had a vision of Jesus. And what Jesus said to her several days before her death was, your time is coming soon, but not yet. And so then after she had this vision, she came back to her family and she kept asking them, is this a dream? Because I feel like the vision I had is more real than this life I've had with you. And I'm trying to figure out, is this reality and that a dream, or is that reality and this a dream? And here's the truth, they're both reality. There's the earthly created reality God's given us, and there's this heavenly reality called the kingdom of God that we all live in, that we can't quite see and can't quite feel, but that we have the opportunity to know for eternity. And what she was able to do with her life, and what I pray all of us are able to do with our lives, is not try to somehow say that there's no darkness out there, but is to simply say one thing. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not, has not, cannot ever overcome it. On the night before he was to be crucified, Jesus gathered with his disciples in the upper room. And there he took bread and he took wine, and he said, this is my body and this is my blood. And what he was saying to them is, every time you take this, I'm going to promise you that I'm going to show up. This is your reminder that I showed up and I haven't gone away. This is your reminder that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness did not overcome it. Now, we're going to continue that tradition in just a minute by taking communion. Before we do, let's pray together. Gracious Lord, we thank you that on that night before you were to be crucified, when you gathered with your disciples, you took bread and said, this is my body. Then you took wine and said, this is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Pour out your Holy Spirit, we pray, on us gathered here, so that these gifts of bread and the juice of the grape,
might be for us your body and your blood, that we might be for the world your body, redeemed by your blood, sharing your love. We pray these things in your name, thanking you that you have sent light into our darkness, and asking that you might give us the power to live as children of God, as testaments to the light each day of our lives. This is our prayer, and we now join it with the prayer you taught your very first disciples to pray as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Concord United Methodist Church. This podcast is a ministry of Concord United, and we would love to hear from you. To contact us, please send an email to podcasts@concordunited.org with sermons in the subject line. For more information about Concord United, including worship times, service opportunities, mission efforts, and classes, please visit our website at concordunited.org. We also invite you to download and enjoy our daily devotional podcasts presented by the pastors and members of Concord United. Finally, we would appreciate it if you would leave a rating and a review of this podcast so that others can discover it and benefit from it.